For those who are listening to this recording, unfortunately this morning I somehow messed up recording the third of what will be eventually four sermons from the Book of Ruth here in Merced. So I'm creating a re-recording. My suggestion is that you find the PowerPoint. Wherever you find this recording, you'll probably also find the PowerPoint. It might help you when you're listening to the sermon. So this is the third, like I said, in a series of sermons from the Book of Ruth. We've already seen some themes in the Book of Ruth. First of all, the theme is the loving relationship between Ruth and Naomi, as well as that between Ruth and Boaz. It's a love story, but it's a love story about a particular kind of love, and that love is that Hebrew word hesed. So one theme in the Book of Ruth is hesed love, which is covenantal, reciprocal, loyal, faithful love. The kind of love that God wants to have for us, but also wants us to have for him. Second theme is salvation history. The Book of Ruth, though a smaller book, perhaps even not noticed by a lot of people, plays a major role in what some scholars call salvation history. In other words, the Bible itself is a story, and Ruth plays a major role in that story. The story is, of course, us losing our place with God in the garden, and then beginning with Abraham, the story of God creating a new way back to have a relationship with God. Through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he created a people, a nation. He gave them a law. And that lineage comes through the characters in this book. In fact, specifically, Ruth is telling us where David fits into the lineage of the Messiah. Because Ruth will marry Boaz. Boaz and Ruth will give birth to Obed, who will give birth to Jesse, who will give birth to David. And the connection is also with the city of Bethlehem. Because in some ways, Bethlehem is sort of a central focal point of the Old Testament and of this salvation story. The story of God creating a way back to him, creating a way into the kingdom. And of course, the ultimate place that this story leads to is Jesus Christ, who is a direct descendant of Ruth and Boaz. The third theme in the Book of Ruth is the Messiah as kinsman redeemer. Here we're going to focus in on Boaz. Boaz serves as a prefigure of Christ in so many ways. It's really quite striking. That'll come out in this lesson for sure, but even more so in our last lesson from chapter 4 in Ruth. I'm really looking forward to that last lesson. I think it's going to be great. All right, and so this idea of Messiah as a kinsman redeemer, as a choel, as we saw earlier, that word, and the idea in the Old Testament, salvation is not so much a matter of justification, but more a matter of redemption, being bought back by the Father. Then the fourth theme is the theme of salvation being not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And Boaz is the kinsman redeemer both of the Jews, in this case Naomi, and the Gentiles, in this case Ruth. So salvation is for the Gentiles, for the foreigner, for the outcast. Another major theme, I would say, in the Book of Ruth. Okay? And then the theme verse of Ruth, which brings out this concept of hesed, Ruth 1, 16 and 17, where Ruth says to Naomi, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you from me." And here we see this beautiful, beautiful expression of covenant love, of loyalty, of commitment. And so, again, that's fitting one of those four themes, of course, obviously, in the Book of Ruth. Okay, and then just a brief review of what we've already seen in Ruth. In Ruth chapter 1, we saw Naomi as the prodigal daughter, in a sense. Now, we don't really blame Naomi. It maybe a little bit falls more to Elimelech, her husband, but a bottom line is Ruth left the promised land, left her inheritance behind and went into the foreign country. There, like the prodigal son, she lost everything that she valued. First, she lost her husband, Elimelech. And then she lost her two sons. And in leaving, she left behind her land, and she became impoverished. So she lost her land, her place, her people. She lost everything. And in this story, which has so many parallels with the parable of the prodigal son, in desperation, Naomi decides to return essentially to her father, to use the parallel with the prodigal son, to return to her homeland, to return to her people. But as we see, she's heading back, and she has her two daughters-in-law. Not her daughters, they're Moabitesses, they're not Jews, Orpah and Ruth, and she begs them to go back because really she can't take care of them. If they come with her, they'll be without a land, without a people, without husbands, without marriages, really without a home. So she begs them to return. And Orpah, and we'll see the parallel between Orpah and Ruth versus Naomi and the other kinsman redeemer. Orpah does what all of us, what normal people would do, which is she takes care of herself and she goes back. But we can see Ruth exhibiting this incredible chesed, this incredible love and loyalty to Naomi. Anyway, so they come back to Bethlehem, and Naomi, in her bitterness at her loss of everything she valued, says, "Don't call me Naomi," which means delight or sweetness. "That is not my name anymore," she says. "My name is Mara," which means bitterness. But then at that last verse in chapter 1, we get that sort of foreshadow of bright things in the future, because the bottom line is a person who's bereft of everything, has lost everything, and recognizes their spiritual and physical poverty, that's a place where God can do great things. So then we see as they arrive in Bethlehem, the barley harvest was just beginning. We see this foreshadow of a great future. All right, and then at Ruth chapter 2, which is our last sermon, we meet Boaz. Whereas Ruth is the main character in the book of Ruth, Boaz is the hero. And in this story, Ruth is us, and Boaz is Jesus. And we learn so much about our relationship with God through his son Jesus from the relationship between Ruth and Boaz. It's going to be very, very instructive. Boaz is kinsman redeemer. He is choel, to use the Jewish word. He's the redeemer. He's the redeemer both of Naomi and of Ruth, which is really cool. He's the redeemer in three different senses. As a messianic prefigure and the redeemer of both the Jews, Naomi, and the Gentiles, Ruth, he's fulfilling three, I guess, Jewish foreshadows, if you will, of New Testament redemption. So in Leviticus 25, 23 through 28, we find that the kinsman redeemer redeems the land. All right, and Boaz is going to redeem the property and the land of Elimelech, his cousin, I'm assuming. So the promised land is a foreshadow of heaven. So God's intention was that we have an eternal possession in the land. And the redemption we have through Christ gives us access to this eternal redemption. So therefore, in a symbolic way, we've been sold to Satan, and God is buying us back. And Boaz is taking the role in redeeming the land and the property of Naomi, of Elimelech, and giving them back and receiving them. Another sense in which a Boaz is going to be a kinsman redeemer is going to be Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 9. That's that law of levirate marriage. If a man dies without progeny, specifically without a son to inherit the property, then her husband's brother or nearest relative is required to be willing to marry that person, and the first male child of that comes from that relationship then becomes the child not of the second father but of the original father, so that he inherits the land, so the land is not lost. And again, God is trying to give us an eternal inheritance in heaven. So there's a great parallel between what Jesus has done for us and this kinsman redeemer, redeeming the family line, redeeming the lineage, if you will, of Judaism, of being Jewish, of being God's children. And then there's a third sense we saw last time in which the kinsman redeemer is providing redemption for the people in Leviticus 19, 9 through 10, where the Jews are told when they harvest their crops, they should not go back and glean what's left over on the land. Instead, they should leave the gleanings for the poor, for the foreigner. And God makes provision both for the poor and for the foreigner. Well, guess who's both poor and a foreigner? The answer is Ruth. So we're going to see that Boaz is going to provide redemption for the land, redemption for the family line, and he's going to provide for the physical needs for the poor and the outcast and the Gentile. Okay? Make sense? All right. So, another feature of Ruth chapter 2 was providence. God's providence. In chapter 2, verse 3, it says, it just so happened that the land that Ruth gleans from in taking this great chance, really, honestly, to provide chesed to take care of Naomi, just so happens to be the land of Boaz. And we see God working behind the scenes. And then in verse 4, it says, just at that exact moment, not only did Ruth just so happen to glean from the land of Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, not even knowing that she had one, that it just so happens that just then, at just the right time, Romans chapter 5, Boaz shows up. At just the right time, Christ died for us. And then we see the kinsman redeemer here. We see Boaz taking this role. He takes care of her. He provides for her bread. Verse 8 and 9, and he provides for her water. Unlimited bread, unlimited water. Just as Christ, our kinsman redeemer, gives us the bread of life. And that if we come to him, he will give us the spring of water that wells up to eternal life, which is the Holy Spirit. Cool stuff. Then, we saw also in this chapter that Ruth makes a very, very bold request. We see her humility, but also her boldness. All right. Anyway, now let's get to our text. Let's read Ruth chapter 2. We'll start in verse 11 through 18. Actually, I think I'll reread verse 10. Kind of get the context here. Ruth 2. All right. At this, she, Ruth, bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Again, we see this theme of God providing for the foreigner and for the outcast, for the Gentile, for the alien. Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland, and you came to live with a people you did not before." Now remember, in this story, who is Ruth? Ruth is us. And who is Boaz? Boaz is Jesus. So just like Ruth, who left behind her father and mother and her homeland and took on a new people, we too have left father and mother. Well, I'm going to come back to that. We're going to read a thing from Mark. But anyway, may the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. We're going to look at this under the wings issue. We're going to look at the blessing. "May I continue," says Ruth, "to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she says. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant. You have shown me great chesed. Though I did not have the standing of one of your servants at mealtime," Boaz said to her, "come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvester, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted. Or I would say we ate all we wanted. We ate our fill. Jesus gave us life to the full. And she had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some of the stalks from her, from the bundles, and leave them for her to pick them up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered in amount to about an ephah. She carried it back to town. Her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she'd eaten enough. So, why is Boaz attracted to Ruth? You know, I implied earlier that there was kind of a, maybe a physical attraction that Ruth was very beautiful, and I believe she was beautiful. But I believe Boaz's principal attraction to Ruth is because of the fact that she showed great covenant loyalty, was her hesed, that she gave up everything out of loyalty to Naomi. And he says, "May the Lord repay you for what you've done, how you left your father and mother, your homeland, and you came to live with a new people." He is impressed by her character, by her loyalty, by the fact that she puts others before herself. And Jesus says something very similar to us, comparing to what Boaz said to Ruth, and this is no accident. I'm thinking of Mark 10, verse 28 through 30. Let's go to Mark 10. Okay. I see a lot of parallels between what Jesus said to his apostles here in Mark 10, between that and what Boaz, who is a prefigure of Christ, says to Ruth, who's a prefigure of us. All right, Mark 10, 28 through 30. "Then Peter spoke up after having been told that it's really hard to enter the kingdom of heaven, that you have to give up everything. Peter spoke up, 'We have left everything to follow you,' just like Naomi, who left everything behind in order to follow," Ruth, "who left everything behind to follow Naomi in order to find a relationship with Boaz. 'Truly I tell you,' Jesus replied, 'no one who's left home or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields. And along with them, persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." So, Jesus is saying to those of us who've given up everything to come into the kingdom, and by the way, everyone here has done this. If you're a disciple, you have left brothers, sisters, mothers, father, children, and fields for the sake of the gospel, that you've made Jesus Lord. All right? And so just like Ruth left behind everything out of loyalty, we have, as disciples, entered into a new relationship, a new family. We found new kindred in the kingdom of God. And like I said, that's what Boaz really appreciates about Ruth. And that's what Jesus appreciates about us if we're his disciples, of course. All right, so back to Ruth. Sorry about that. I had to let the cat out. Okay, back to Ruth. So, like Boaz, Jesus says to us, "May the Lord repay you and richly reward you 100-fold for what you've given up." And that's what Boaz says to Ruth, and that's what he does. In fact, remember Ruth, in our last sermon, she boldly asked Boaz for more than just the gleaning, right? According to Leviticus, the gleaning statement there, she should be able to glean along with the women after the harvest is done. But she asked for more. She asked to be able to go out with the men and come immediately behind them gleaning. But Boaz says, "No, we're going to do something more than that. We're going to send you out." And he says to the men, male harvesters, as they're forming their sheaves, to kind of drop an occasional a piece of barley or wheat, whichever it's going to be, to the ground. And, you know, I want us to put ourselves in the shoes of a Jew here. They're going, you're kidding. What? He's asking them to drop some of the sheaves, some of the wheat that was going to be gathered into the sheaves and leave them for Ruth. And again, we see that God wants to give us 100-fold, whatever we've given up. God wants to bless us. So now in verse 14, Boaz is now treating Ruth as part of the household. He is serving her. Why? Because she has shown chesed to Naomi. And eventually, of course, she's going to show chesed, even in this lesson, to Boaz. Astonishing what Jesus does, because he does the same thing. And then we see Boaz offering to Ruth both bread and wine. I don't know. Do you think there might be some foreshadowing here? As the kinsman redeemer Boaz offers to Ruth, just like Jesus offers to us, bread and wine, representing, I guess, the redemption that we have in Christ. All right, so we saw then again in verse 16, Boaz goes even beyond the bold request of Ruth, says, pull out some grain, give her more. All right, now let's continue. Let's read verse 17 through verse 23. Back in Ruth chapter 2, we're going to finish up the chapter here. Ruth 2, 17 through 23. So Ruth is going to return to Naomi. Let's look at that little scene. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. She threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. Now, again, if you're a Jew, you're going, a whole ephah? A poor, impoverished, young, vulnerable, Gentile woman gathered an entire ephah? All right. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she'd gathered. By the way, let me finish reading. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she'd eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked at today is Boaz, she said. And Naomi kind of goes, okay. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness. The Lord has not stopped showing chesed to Naomi and to Ruth. And the Lord has done it through Boaz. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and to the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He's one of our guardian redeemers. Here's the first use of the Hebrew word choel. Then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Naomi, and by the way, this is the last time we're going to see Ruth the Moabite. One of the progressions in the book of Ruth is Ruth goes from being Moabite to being servant to being wife. And this transformation, just like God will transform us. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it'll be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. And again, we see what I said earlier, which Ruth took a great risk in showing loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi, because when she went out to glean as a single, vulnerable, young, Gentile woman, just imagine being amongst the men, what could have happened. All right, so now we're going to go to chapter 3. And honestly, chapter 3 is the main text of our sermon today. So we're going to go on to the next part of our wonderful story. So let's read Ruth 3, 1 through 18. Now remember, all this is happening in Bethlehem. Remember, this is part of the salvation history. This is a key moment. in how God is going to save the world through the child, if you will, the descendant of Abraham. And this Bethlehem is going to be the center of God's saving work. We're going to come back to Bethlehem. Oh, yes, we will. In Matthew. All right. So anyway, here we go. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you'll be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you're there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down." What's going on here? We're going to have to explain this. "He will tell you what to do." And then Ruth humbly says, "I will do whatever you say," she answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking, he was in good spirits, went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. What he's doing here is lying down next to the grain that he has threshed. Ruth approached quietly, uncovering his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled him, and he turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. Like, whoa, who's this woman? "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you," my daughter replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You've not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you're a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I'm a guardian redeemer of our family, there's another who's more closer related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he's not willing, or as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but got up before anybody could be recognized, and he said, "No one must know that a woman has come to my threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." All right, this is an interesting story, and there's aspects here that's a little puzzling. In fact, maybe more than a little puzzling, this whole thing about laying at his feet and uncovering his feet and all that kind of stuff. So let's talk about that a little bit. Now here, Naomi is giving reciprocal love and loyalty to Ruth. Just like Ruth, who has been loyal to Naomi, Naomi is saying, "I want to take care of you, Ruth. I want to provide for you a home. I want to give you a place of rest, a husband and a family. I want to take care of you as you've taken care of me." So she tells her to show herself to Boaz. And in essence, to propose marriage to her kinsman redeemer. Now, there's some details in this story that I think we have to give a little bit of context. Because honestly, it's like, this is a little strange. Late at night, alone, you know, this meeting here, the uncovering of the feet. But I'm telling you, Naomi has chosen very wisely here. The threshing floor was not some sort of place you could have a little secret get-together. No, it was a public place. There was probably just one threshing floor in the town of Bethlehem. Typically, it would be at the top of a hill. Now, the process of threshing was this. When you harvest either the barley or the wheat, there's the hull and then there's the seed. The hull has very little calories, very little nutrition. So what you want to do is you take the barley and you sort of have cattle step on it, or you take a heavy roller and you roll over it, you crush it. What you do is you take the hull off the seed. And then you throw the mixture up in the air, and the chaff, the hull, is blown away by the wind, and you're left with the seed. All right, this was kind of a standard thing. That's why it would generally be on the top of a hill, often at night, because that's or maybe late in the day when you have some breeze to carry off the chaff. So probably a number of citizens of Bethlehem were threshing at the threshing floor. And so Boaz spent the night there essentially to guard, I guess, his grain that he had threshed, because he's not done with the threshing perhaps. I don't know. And so this is not some sort of private location. This is a public place. There were other people there that night. And that's why Naomi sent Ruth to Boaz at night. Now, if you read in Deuteronomy 25, the law of levirate marriage, it turns out that it is the role of the woman to propose marriage to the man. And so Ruth then, not Boaz, has to take the initiative in this kinsman redeemer situation. And she's not going to go to his house to be alone with him. And so instead she goes to a public place, and yet a place that she can do it in complete privacy. So it needed to be a place that was both public and private, which this threshing floor at night meets those two requirements. So the threshing floor was then either solid rock, or more commonly, very, very hard packed dirt, so that the chaff could be separated from the grain. All right. So, and Naomi gave Ruth very, very specific instructions. Now, my author sees a foreshadowing here. I don't know. Because Naomi tells Ruth, wash yourself, anoint yourself with perfume, and put on your best clothes. And my author says, well, that washing is baptism, that anointing with the perfume is the anointing with the Holy Spirit, and the beautiful clothes are the clothes that we're clothed with when we're baptized into Christ. That's a bit of a stretch. If you want to think of the washing and the perfume and the nice clothes as some sort of a foreshadowing, okay. But to me, it's just common sense advice. If she wants to make herself appealing to Boaz, she's going to take a bath. She's going to put on perfume and beautiful clothes. So take that for what it's worth. Here's what I want to focus in on. So Ruth, verse 5 says, I will do whatever you say. So here we see Ruth humbly submitting to her mother-in-law. And I want to suggest to those of you who are here today, the young, who want to eventually have a relationship with somebody, a marriage, I want to suggest that you behave like Ruth here, that you listen to the advice of older, wiser, spiritual men and women. Haven't seen enough of that going on around here, to be honest with you. I think people have been kind of doing their own thing. But I really appreciate Ruth's humility, and she did exactly what Naomi suggested. And it went well with her, did it not? Because in our world today, we have no idea how to pursue a chesed kind of loving, intimate relationship between husband and wife. Okay, we just want to go for what appeals to us. It's often very physical. And it's, you know, you just this electrifying feeling, if you will. And we kind of lose common sense. And our world has no idea, honestly, how to pursue a godly, spiritual, eternal relationship, covenant relationship in marriage. So I want to suggest to you young people, look at Ruth and follow her example. So anyway, like I said, she goes, and like Esther, Ruth takes the advice of a wise, experienced counselor. She goes at great risk, and she risks her life in some sense, and God is going to give her a great reward. So anyway, there's the whole thing with the pulling back of the cover from the feet. My take on that is, it's basically, if I fall asleep, it's probably pretty warm, but as the night wears on, it's 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, it's going to start to get pretty cold. Those uncovered feet are going to be, oh, all right, it's going to make Boaz basically wake up. What's going on? Why are my feet uncovered? He does that and he sees this beautiful young woman, but it's kind of dark. He's not sure who it is. So he says, who are you? And Ruth says, I'm your servant. Not I'm a Moabitess. No longer is she a Moabitess. No longer is she a foreigner. She's a servant. And then she's already taken the instruction of Naomi to uncover his feet, but then she goes beyond that. She boldly asks Boaz to spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. I want to kind of go into that. This garment corner that she says to spread over her, the word here is kanap, the Hebrew word. But kanap can also mean wings. So let's go back to Ruth 2:12. Ruth 2:12. Here in Ruth 2:12, Boaz says a little quick prayer here. In his quick little prayer, Boaz says, may the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come. So Boaz prays that God will take Ruth under his wings, that God will protect Ruth. And what's ironic and really cool is here in chapter 3, verse 9, Boaz's prayer is answered because he becomes the one under whom Ruth will, he's the one who'll spread his wings over her. He's the one who'll do that kanap thing. So Ruth is asking Boaz to answer his own prayer, that God would spread his wings of refuge over Ruth. And God is doing the same thing for us. We are Ruth. Jesus is Boaz. And Jesus is spreading his wings of refuge over us. Jesus is saying, I want a covenant relationship with you. I want to have what amounts to almost like a marriage-like intimate relationship with every single one of us. And that's what Ruth boldly asks Boaz to do, and Boaz did exactly that. All right, back in chapter 3. Almost done here. And Boaz basically says, yes, the Lord bless you, my daughter. And Boaz pronounces hesed on Ruth. This kindness. So Ruth has shown hesed to Boaz, and now Boaz is going to show hesed to Ruth. Says this kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. So the earlier kindness, the earlier hesed Ruth had shown was to Naomi. And Boaz is saying the hesed, the loyalty you've shown to Naomi is exceeded by the loyalty showing me. How is that? It says you have not run after the younger man, whether rich or poor. And so basically saying, hey, you didn't do what most young women would do, would go after the good-looking guys, the guys, the kind of buff guys, the guys with a little muscle and a little bit of cool guys. Or maybe the guys with money who can take care of you. No, he says, you've humbly shown, has said, you've shown familial loyalty. This kindness you've chosen, has said, you could have married for love, kind of a infatuation, if you will, with a good-looking young guy, maybe not with a lot of money, or you could have found a rich guy to take care of you. But no, instead, you've chosen to take care of Naomi, and you've chosen to take care of your family. You've been loyal. All right? So Naomi seeks a husband who will meet the needs of the kingdom of God. Now, again, I want us to look at Ruth. I want us to look at how Ruth seeks a relationship. And I want the young people out there to follow Ruth's example. I'm not saying you have to find somebody who's 25 years older than you, young sisters. I'm not saying it's got to be somebody who's not good looking. Hey, hopefully you'll find a really good looking person who's really exciting and fun to be with. but seek the kingdom first. Seek somebody who is loyal to God first. Because I'm telling you, if they're loyal to God, they'll be loyal to you as well. All right? Choose carefully. Choose wisely. Cool. So, now, verse 12. And here we have a real twist in the plot. Okay, because everything's looking great. We're as sort of the audience, as if we're imagining this as a story here, and we're seeing God going from, you know, the situation with Naomi, where she's lost everything. She's in a foreign land. She's lost land. She's lost husband. She's lost family. She's desperate. And she goes back. And we see how Ruth is loyal to her, and God is blessing her. And we're anticipating this is going great. There's going to be a marriage. But we got a plot twist. It's kind of like a movie, and you're at the three-quarters point in a movie, and you're almost sure you know how it's going to end, and then somebody suddenly throws in a wrench, if you will, to go, uh-oh, oh no. So I imagine some sort of suspenseful music coming in, as we see in verse 12. Although it is true that I'm guardian redeemer of the family, there's a problem here I didn't tell you about. There's another who's more closely related than I. And so here we have the possibility that this whole plan of God could be foiled. Of course, we know that's not going to happen, all right? But, you know, it's kind of a cool part of this story, how this went. Because it turns out there's another potential kinsman redeemer, never named here, by the way. And this kinsman redeemer is a closer relative to Elimelech than Boaz. Most likely, like I said earlier, this closer kinsman redeemer is a brother of Elimelech. Whereas we're guessing that Boaz is either a cousin of Elimelech or possibly a cousin of one of the sons, Kilian who had died. So now, it would have been pretty tempting, I would say, for Boaz to kind of game the system, to kind of manipulate the situation. Hey, I'm kinsman redeemer. Great, just go off and elope with Ruth. They could even have had a sexual encounter that night if he wanted to, probably, and kind of, you know, consummate their marriage. But no. This is Boaz. This is loyal Boaz. So Boaz is going to not try to manipulate the law. Boaz is going to basically do the honest, ethical thing and offer the possibility that the other closer kinsman redeemer could take Naomi, could take Ruth. So we see this honest, ethical behavior of Boaz, which is really cool. All right. So anyway, last little section here. Ruth comes back in verse 16 to her mother-in-law, and Naomi asks, "How did it go, my daughter?" Now, this is not a very good translation of the Hebrew. The Hebrew is more like this. When Ruth comes to Naomi, Naomi asks her, "Who are you?" So why would the NIV translate "who are you" to "how did it go, my daughter?" You know? Who are you? It's like, what, she doesn't even know her or something like that? But actually, the NIV does, I believe, kind of give the intent of what's going on here. This is like an idiom. Basically, I think, as soon as Naomi saw Ruth, she saw this glowing smile on her face. She goes, "Oh, amen. It went awesome." So she's saying, "Hey, are you Mrs. Boaz, essentially?" You know, she's asking her, "How did it go?" All right? And Ruth tells her everything. And what a happy scene. What a wonderful, beautiful scene. Let's kind of just take some time feeling the glow of this great moment between Ruth and Naomi. Because Ruth did exactly what Naomi said. And she even went beyond it, actually, right? And God has blessed her. But we have here, verse 18, here's kind of where the episode's going to end. It's kind of like a TV show where we know there's another episode coming, but we have to kind of have a suspenseful thing here. So verse 18, then Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. And guess what? We're going to find out what happens next week. So how's it going to end? How's our story going to end? Will this beautiful Hesed covenant loyal relationship between Ruth and Boaz be consummated, or will in fact Ruth be stolen by a lesser man? We don't know. Of course, we actually do know, but let's pretend that we don't. So in summary, Boaz, like Jesus, is a kinsman redeemer. He offers to Ruth bread and wine. He redeems Naomi and Ruth. He redeems Naomi, the Jew, and Ruth, the Gentile. He is the kinsman redeemer. He is the prefigure of Christ. He redeems the land. He redeems the relationship. He gives blessing to the foreigner and to the poor. And what does Boaz want? He wants an intimate relationship with Ruth, just like Jesus wants an intimate relationship with us. And he wants to bless us. He wants us to give us a hundredfold of everything we've given up in order to come into his family. However, like Ruth, we must show Hesed and return to our Boaz. We need to show the same covenant loyalty to Jesus that he showed to us. We must be willing to give up home and brothers and sister and mother and father and field. And if we do, he will give us a hundredfold in this life and an eternal inheritance. And we will be his people. All right, that's our sermon, and we'll see you next week.